You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. Today's show is a Chicago Bulls preview before the Pacers Friday game against the Chicago Bulls at 7 o'clock at home, or in Chicago. Is that 7? I think it might be at 7:30 in Chicago. Joining me on the other line to discuss the Bulls is Bulls confidential editor Hunter Cuffle. You might know Hunter from being on the show previously in the summer. How are you doing, Hunter?
I'm very, very good. Thanks for having me on.
So I'm going to admit, I haven't watched a ton of Bulls. They haven't been that great this year. I haven't had a huge urge to watch. I know Lauri Markkanen has been pretty kind of like at least solid to watch, you know, as a rookie. So I haven't watched a ton of Bulls. And I imagine most people listen to this podcast, if they're Pacers diehards, haven't given the Bulls a ton of attention because they just aren't that good this year.
Yeah, I would say that most of your listeners, if that is the case, they haven't watched a lot of Bulls. They would be very shrewd judges of what is a good way to spend their time. It's been a little bit brutal off the top, but I would say that they've maintained their very Bullsian quality of really being in games that they have no business being competitive in, and then completely laying an egg against games that they might have a chance in. So if that's what you're into, then the Chicago Bulls have something for you on a nightly basis.
Well, the Pacers have been fun to watch this year, so every game they've played has been fun. So imagine that the Bulls are going to be fun. The Bulls Pacers have some knockout games that were just like awesome to watch. I'm trying to remember some of those Butler George matches were just, it's set when both lost their star players, so it's a little sad, but those are some of the best games to watch. I remember there's a game where the Bulls are up one and George comes down, has a shot to win it, and Butler just blocks him. And there's a lot of fun previous history in this matchup, so it's kind of sad to see where it is now. So my first like just question is, if I haven't watched a Bulls game yet, I have watched a couple, but I haven't watched a ton, what's kind of one thing I need to know about the Bulls? You know, what's the focal point of this? What kind of been the narrative this year?
Well, let me try and pick one. I think narrative wise, it's probably going to be Lauri Markkanen. He's been kind of the only beacon of hope so far. He might not be this way anymore, but he hasn't played a game and not scored in double figures yet, which is pretty remarkable, especially for a rookie. So at least offensively, he's been kind of the sole source of hope for Bulls fans, kind of tuning in, looking for something to entertain them, because as you've kind of touched on before, everywhere else in the rotation on the floor has been kind of nothing short of a dumpster fire. Their point guard rotation has been long lambasted for years and years, and it's kind of reached its nadir right about now, with Jerry Grant being kind of the best option and Chris Dunn still having that gnarly finger dislocation. So that's a mess. And, you know, Robin Lopez is Robin Lopez. We know what he is at this point. And Paul Zipser is like in the third percentile in points per shot attempt right now or something, and turns the ball over like one out of every three times he touches the ball, which isn't exactly what you look for. So yeah, I would say even just by process of elimination, Lauri Markkanen is probably the guy to watch.
All right, I think that's a fair. He's putting up, 16.3 per game, which is pretty good for a rookie, and 9 rebounds. So that's, you know, for rookies, the rookie class here in the NBA has been kind of better than usual. Obviously, there's Simmons, who's technically a rookie. Lonzo's kind of stunk, but there's been Simmons. There's like a list of 4 or 5 guys, but Markkanen's one of the guys that's kind of been a surprise, at least, because rookies usually don't contribute this early. And he's putting up, you know, 16-9 for rookie season is probably on some level impressive, and probably, I'm sure you can pull out some, sure somewhere somebody can pull out some stars that have had 16-9 first season, went on to be superstar centers wise. So I think that's at least a sign of hope, right? There's at least hope in Chicago Bull land.
Yeah, no, he's definitely been unambiguously impressive so far in his kind of his rookie debut. I mean, there were a lot of people, myself included, that were not super happy with him being taken with the second pick or the seventh pick, excuse me, around draft time. It seemed like a very ballsy pick, like take like a offensive minded shooter and like who was going to be very limited athletically and wouldn't be able to play any defense whatsoever. And like we'd already had Doug McDermott and Denzel Valentine, who are definitely not going to pan out, like Doug McDermott being off the team and Denzel being 55 years old already. And so I wasn't super excited about Lowry, but he's definitely given us a reason for optimism, especially just because like he's taking up like 7.5 threes a game, which is just like very exciting in terms of a team offense standpoint, having someone who is actually a legit stretch option at the big and not just like Bobby Portis, where people can just run around with their heads cut off. Like he's shooting 36% from the corners and you're like, okay, but it's Bobby Portis. But like, this is actually real. Like Lowry Markkanen is a really, really good shooter from deep and has been, you know, every single night there's been something on offense where you're like, oh, this guy's a real player. And so that's definitely been exciting to see. On defense is a different story, but we don't have to talk about that.
I'm guessing, just to relitigate the draft for like a half a minute, I'm guessing you wanted Dennis Smith, right?
I definitely would have been happier with Dennis Smith at the time. And yeah, I was a big Donovan Mitchell fan before, but taking him at 7 is kind of a big stretch. Like I wouldn't fault anyone for not taking him at 7. I was before the draft hoping that he was going to fall to 16 and thinking that that was probably not going to happen. And so, yeah, we, as Bulls fans, didn't have a lot of time to like think about who we wanted at 7, right? Because we didn't know that they were going to have the 7th pick until minutes before it actually happened. But yeah, Dennis Smith would have been nice. Although the Mavs look like absolute trash, so we'll see how that turns out.
That's right. I forgot that it was a draft night trade. The Jim Butler trade was draft night. It kind of blamed me because it was happened so fast that they traded him and then took Lauri Markkanen like immediately. That and then the team just got destroyed on Twitter. I mean, Twitter and ESPN and every place. So I forgot about that. But he's been
rough.
Markkanen has a surprise, at least. At least he surprised and kind of maybe put critics to bay for a little bit. So am I wrong to say that the Bulls are basically in this mode where this year doesn't matter and they're basically trying to go after Marvin Bagley, Michael Porter, or Luka Doncic? That's like their goal?
No. Yeah, you're exactly right.
So what's kind of the – I don't want to like preview that too long, but like you think 20 wins is kind of the marker for this team this season?
Yeah, we were talking over with our writers in our Bulls confidential Slack, and most of us were kind of hovering around 20 to 25 wins just because like under 20 is kind of hard to do as an NBA team, especially when you have, you know, a fairly good amount of NBA players on the roster. Like, you know, you can look at like the Sixers from a few years ago who were just like having a revolving door of people who didn't even belong in the league. Like then you can get under 20 then, but like the Bulls have like Lopez and Markkanen, and, you know, they'll eventually have Zach LaVine and Mirotić and, you know, Jaren Grant and people like that'll be enough to get you above 20. But then past that, it's like with the combination of not really wanting to win a lot of games and just not having any sort of cohesion or defensive competence, you're going to be hard pressed to win more than 25. So I'd be shocked if it wasn't between that window.
So when is LaVine due back? Is it January-ish?
It's ambiguous because people are saying different things. Like he spent all summer saying that he was going to be ready for the start of the season. And we were all just like, okay.
Oh, the old Andrew Luck move.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, that's optimistic of you. And then, you know, you're not going to get a straight answer out of the Bulls front office about anything. But yeah, like late December or early January, I think is the very, you know, tentative return date. And then who knows about Mirotić?
I have to just ask, what do you think about that Adidas contract he signed? I was confused.
Yeah, that's a high number, isn't it?
It's when do guys that don't start or play a lot of games get shoe deals? I'm confused. Like when it started happening.
I think that I was talking with a buddy from college about this, and he was saying like, I think someone in the Adidas marketing room is like, what if we make a list of Chicago Bulls players that don't have knees? And then we just throw gigantic shoe contracts at them.
Sounds like what they did.
Yeah, I didn't really have a response for him. That kind of seems like the strategy.
Like the only thing I can think of is it's like that Steph Curry thing where Under Armour got him so cheap that like there was that loyalty where like they like have this like there's somewhere and somebody on Adidas like, oh, Zach LaVine. I watched him dunk the ball in the dunk contest. He looks awesome. When he comes back from his knee, he's going to have like this resurgence and he's going to be awesome. And we're going to have him so cheap. It's going to be awesome. But like, I don't think but like at least when Steph was healthy before he got hurt, he had like flashes of like, oh, this guy is a really good NBA player. I don't think LaVine's ever had like that 40-point game that Curry used to have.
No, I mean, he's definitely got a big name because of, you know, the dunk contest and maybe that their marketing team is thinking that, you know, you don't really need a lot of wins to move shoes and being in Chicago. But I don't know. I can't remember what podcast I was listening. Maybe it was Open Floor, the Sports Illustrated podcast, but someone was talking about like they were not looking forward to like 4 years from now when Zach LaVine doesn't want to do the dunk contest anymore, but he's like contractually obligated from this Adidas deal to like keep being in the dunk contest, and that's going to be really awkward.
Yeah,
but, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's going to pay off. Just another one of Adidas' just terrible deals. I mean, they're still probably paying D Rose $20 million a year.
Probably, yeah.
Good for D Rose. I'll give him that.
Keep getting those checks, Derek. Come on.
Yeah, for real. You're the kind of guy, you were at your peak. You know, the NBA took everything from you because at your peak, you were going to be the next great point guard, and it fell apart too quickly. Let's move back on to kind of talking about the Pacers-Bulls game on Friday at 8. I know Victor Oladipo had a great season. I know you monitor the Pacers a little bit because you also are an editor at 8.9 seconds. So I know you know the Pacers pretty well. If you had a Pacers player that besides Oladipo, because I think he's the obvious one, to sort of almost like me and Tony calling are a butcher, who would be the player the Pacers to butcher the Bulls?
Well, let's see. I think Domantas Sabonis is going to have a pretty good opportunity just because Robin Lopez is not the best defender in space. So that kind of Oladipo, Sabonis, pick and roll, pick and pop is probably primed to do a lot of damage against the Bulls, especially because when Lopez comes off the floor and then you have like Cristiano Felicio or even like Markkanen playing center, then, you know, that's going to be a pretty easy matchup to take advantage of. So the first player off the top of my head would probably be Sabonis. Kind of a half answer because it's like the combination of Oladipo and Sabonis together, I think, is going to crush it, at least on offense. But yeah, he'd probably be my
pick. Yeah, they've been incredible. Their pick and roll and chemistry, I thought, is the most surprising thing of this Pacers season. Yeah. I don't know what you think about that, it's been awesome. I mean,
it's unreal.
If you watch some of those plays, and at least when they run like the high pick and like kind of screen roll where like someone basically blocks out whoever Oladipo's guarding, like gets that easy 14-footer. I was like looking at it's three ball with all like the highlights, and I typed in Sabonis, or I typed in Oladipo jumper, and there's just like all like every fifth shot is either Oladipo pulls up a three or Sabonis hits him up with some kind of screen. Like you just watch like 14-footer, and you just watch, they just keep running the same play, and teams just can't seem to stop it. So it's kind of cool.
No, it's been a very pleasant surprise. It's almost as if they had a lot of free time not getting the ball in Oklahoma City. They had time to kind of practice that chemistry.
I do wonder, though, it's like kind of the second team kind of guy. I know Oladipo started, but as the second team kind of guys, but they were just like stewing in the back, like we're waiting for their day, or Westbrook to get hurt, or for them to get traded. I wonder if there was something in the Pacers GM mind where like he wanted those two guys together because they were like be linked. I don't know, something.
Yeah, something.
It's worked out awesome so far. So then flipping it on the other side of the Bulls, who would be the one? So Markkanen is probably the one you're probably going to say, but who would be the Bulls butcher for the Pacers? So if Enemy's going to have an awesome night, who's it going to be on the Bulls?
Well, I want to be clear that my real answer is no one. But
yeah, the same feel like on our weekly podcast, we were like, I passed on this one. So I'm giving you the hard question. Yeah.
I feel like it's cheap to not give an answer though. So I'll say that depending on if he, you know, is doing anything, Justin Holiday could go off, against kind of a backcourt that, you know, Oladipo and Darren Collison aren't like the stingiest defensive backcourt. So, you know, I'd give Justin Holiday a shot if he's, you know, if he's feeling like a hot hand or something like that, but that doesn't happen super frequently. So you can hear in my voice that I'm not very confident about that. Other than that, I mean, Markkanen could definitely go off. Past that, I mean, there's just no one on this team. Like it's, yeah.
Holiday's not a bad option. If you ask JJ Redick about that, about what it's like to have Collison or Oladipo guard you, he'll tell you, oh, it's great. I just run around in circles and get open threes. So, I just couldn't believe that Holiday's shooting almost nine threes a game. I mean, does he just have free will just to pull up whenever he feels like it?
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's Zach Lowe hit on it in his 10 things I like and don't like column. One of the things that he very much did not like was just Justin Holiday having the greenest of lights. And like, you can see it, like he'll pull up for the worst long twos with like 13 seconds left in the shot clock where he just like dribbles three times and has like two defenders draped all over him. And he's like, oh, this is a good shot that I should take right now. And it's, you know, that's just the Bulls offense this season.
Yeah, it's disappointing, I think, almost. Kind of sad because, right, you as a Bulls fan, you're probably – or not a Bulls, as a Bulls writer, you're not necessarily a fan, let's put it that way. You're probably screaming at the TV, like, just let Markkanen shoot everything. Give him the ball. Let him play. Let him do it all because he's the rookie. Let him learn. And, like, right. Justin Holiday, a 28-year-old guy that's not going to probably be on the Bulls in a year or two, it's, like, just probably frustrating to watch him keep taking all the shots he does, like a J.R. Smith type of blocking of Wayne Markkanen kind of way.
Right. It's two-pronged, right? It's, you know, you want – Markkanen to get the development. You want, you know, to see the shots being taken by people who could potentially be part of the Bulls' future. But the other prong is that, like, I'm watching and I see Justin Holiday pull up for this just garbage, putrid shot. And then, you know, I see on my computer, I'm like, hey, Luka Doncic had like 10 assists tonight. So, you know, nice. keep taking those shots. You know, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I was thinking too. I guess Holiday will probably get pushed out eventually when Levine comes back, right? Levine will hopefully become the starting.
Yeah, player. Yeah.
So
he'll have much same with David Nwaba.
Yeah, I imagine Holiday's trying to get all his points he can so he can get some kind of contract next year. Say, hey, look, I averaged 15 points for 20 games. You should pay me.
Right, exactly.
Going average backup shooting guard rate is next year.
Exactly.
So then I'm trying to, I mean, like, the Bulls, to be honest, aren't super exciting of a team. I know I want people to watch this game on the game on Friday just because I think it'll be a fun Pacers game because I think it could be a pretty big blowout, right? Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I think it'll definitely be a very comfortable win for the Pacers. And I think it'll be a fairly entertaining game, though, just because the Pacers have been running, you know, the lights out of the gym. And, you know, the Bulls are fairly, I mean, they're a young team. And they're fairly athletic. Like the two teams will get up and down the court. So I think it'll be pretty high scoring and I think it'll be fairly entertaining. So, I mean, I'll tune in.
Yeah. The thing I could say about the Pacers this year is even if they don't even win 40 games, they're much more exciting to watch this year than they were last year. Last year, it was like pulling your teeth out, watching George frustrated every 5 seconds for some foul call he didn't get. Versus this year, it's like, it's just rapid pace. Like a team scores and they come back and answer immediately. And they're fun to watch this year because they're scoring a ton of points. They don't seem to care about defense and the players look like they're having fun there. I mean, you watch some of the guys and they're hitting like these step back shots, you know, or these flip like Thad Young hits like an off rebound floater off his like left hand, which he's not left handed. So it's just, they've been fun to watch. So I think even no matter who they play, they're just going to be fun to watch just because of the pace they play.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think even just the idea of watching them come up the court and not knowing exactly what's going to happen, but, you know, knowing that something exciting is going to happen. Whereas last year it was like, you got a rebound and it's like, okay, well, here comes Paul George up a wide pin down. And now he's going to dribble 15 times at the top of the key and then something's going to happen. And like just having a little bit more variety can really go a long way.
Yeah. I think this would be an easy pace to win. Like I said earlier, you know, I don't have anything else to ask you about the Bulls. Do you have anything else you want to hit on about the Bulls?
Really pushing for Lowry Markkanen's nickname to be the finisher. A lot of people are like pulling out like this baby Dirk or like Porzingis comparisons. And I don't know why we got to do that. It's clearly the finisher. He's from Finland. It's clear wordplay there. It seems like an easy decision to me. So, you know, Pacers Nation, Locked On Pacers listeners, it's the finisher. That's all we have to say about that.
Before I ask you about what you're previewing, you want to see if our friend, my co-host Tony's listening by, you got anything you want to shout out to him real quick or say?
Yeah. Tony, hope you're doing well. Bojan Bogdanović is overrated.
Oh, he, in our show today was like, I have a soft spot for Bojan and all that. And Bojan's been good. I mean, he's been Bojan. He's been,
yeah, he is what he is. Like,
yeah, you know,
I don't have anything against Bojan. I just know it gets under Tony's skin.
So. Yeah, he's a great 15 points on 6 of 11 shooting every night. I mean, it's solid. He's nothing, you know, he's not going to put up 40 a night, but, you know, right. 15 every night is fine.
Right. He's Croatia's favorite son.
Exactly. And it was fun, though, earlier to watch the Bogdan versus Bogdanović, it's the Bojan versus
Bojan. Oh, yeah, that was great.
It was just a little like confusing the names. And yeah, I'm sure it was fun to watch. Mark or Boyle, right? He's the play-by-play guy on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a little confused with that.
Yeah, it's a rough night for him for sure.
Yeah. And then you want to promote on Bulls Confidential?
Just, you know, we got our game coverage going pretty strong now. Just, you know, stay tuned. I'm doing everything I can to make sure that the Bulls Confidential Twitter account becomes just exclusively salty tweets about Jordan Bell. So be mindful of that. Follow us at Bulls CONF. Check us out, bullsconf.com. Other than that, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so Pacers play the Bulls. recording is on Sunday, so I'm going to say this Friday, or on a Friday, so it'll be tonight at 8 p.m. They do play the Bulls four times, so they'll play them again in December, so we'll have to talk again at that point. I'm sure they play they play December twice, then they'll play January. So they finished, the last game they play against the Bulls is January 6th, so between now and January 6th, they'll play the Bulls four times. Oof. It'll be a lot. Hopefully, it'll be four wins for the Pacers, which will help their playoff resume. But that's all I got for today's show. Thanks for joining me, Hunter, as always.
Yeah, absolutely.
The third time I've had you on now?
I believe so, yeah.
All right, we'll have to keep doing this.
Once we get to five, then I get one of those nice jackets like on Saturday Night Live.
Yes, you have to bring your little punch card, though, to get the jacket.
Ah, all right.
Thanks for joining me. That has been today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Enjoy the game tonight and have a great rest of your day.